Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Unimaq Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Valecha. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome you all to the 1Q FY26 earnings conference call of Unimaq Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited. From the management team here today, we have Mr. Anil Puttenkumar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ramkrishna Kamojla, the Whole-Time Director and CFO, Mr. Rajnikant Balaraman, the Whole-Time Director, Mr. Maniputan, Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Preetham S.V., the Whole-Time Director. We also have Mr. Akash Jaiswal, AGM, Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Anil for his opening remarks, post which we will take the questions from the participants. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Anil.
Thank you, Manish. Good morning and good day to everyone, and welcome to Unimaq Aerospace Q1 FY26 earnings call. We are pleased to report a strong start for the fiscal year despite a quarter marred with uncertainty induced by ongoing tariff discussions. This performance is powered by a combination of strong relationships with customers and strategic execution of the key business decisions. India's aerospace and defense sector is entering a rapid growth mode, and Unimaq is positioned to capitalize. Government's renewed push to make India a global aerospace manufacturing hub is translating into real opportunities. From streamlined certification protocols to expanded R&D incentives, the policy environment is now more conducive than ever to scale and innovate. Notably, Mr. Piyush Goyal's visit to our KADB factory in Devanahalli Aerospace SEZ underscores the vision of government's continued commitment to promote advanced manufacturing and indigenous capabilities within India's thriving aerospace and defense ecosystem. Sharing a few insights highlighting growing confidence in Indian aerospace manufacturing, global OEMs have ramped up sourcing from India. Boeing's annual sourcing from India has grown from $250 million to $1.25 billion in less than a decade, a clear signal of growing confidence in Indian capability. Domestically, the aviation sector is booming. India's aviation sector rises to third spot globally, creating 7.7 million jobs. Passenger traffic is up 15% year-on-year, and infrastructure expansion continues with 157 operational airports and more in the pipeline. Capitalizing the growing demand in capacity building and strongly capturing business opportunities in segments we operate, I would like to share a few thoughts here. In the first quarter of FY26, the momentum continued of receiving strong business inquiries from both domestic and international customers. We added around 3 new customers during the quarter, serving them with their initial orders ranging across industries like defense, electronics, and medical robotics. This takes our customers count to 35 in total. Further, the new inquiries being received from five new customers, which is a mix of domestic and international, and all predominantly in the aerospace and defense segment. Last quarter, we secured a new order for high-value engine stands. Production will begin in this quarter, that is Q2, with deliveries expected in early Q3 and Q4. We have submitted 4 EMCCR tenders for Tarapur 3 and 4 atomic power station, which is 540 megawatts reactor, waiting for results in a couple of months. Like Tarapur, we expect tenders for more EMCCR jobs for 220 megawatt reactors situated in Kaiga, Karnataka, and Rajasthan to be out in August. Tender value expected to be worth about 400 plus crore, all three combined jobs, in which we will be eligible to bid at least one. We have started receiving RFQs for Kaiga 5 and 6 nuclear power plant from Tier 1 manufacturer in India, for which supply is expected to commence in the second half of the next year. We have submitted a few bids, and we are also, you know, working out a couple of more bids, and the results are waiting, and we expect it in the near future. Near-term opportunity, as I said in my last earnings call, there are about 10-plus reactors, new reactors, tenders are expected to release in near future. Each wind reactor will be thousands of crores, for which we can apply for at least about 500-plus crores of tender in each of the, you know, reactors. This is the components that we have identified. Again, coming to the small reactors, the BSRs, government has initially selected a few private vendors to build about 12 new reactors with a 220 megawatts kind of, you know, capacity. These reactors will be built and managed by private organization, and UNIMEC is well positioned to service these opportunities well. Focusing on customers acquisition and continuing with more product qualifications, we are gradually upgrading, building more complex products. Total SKUs that we have delivered until the end of June 25 stands to 4769, adding 381 new SKUs versus March 25. For UNIMEC, these developments are not just encouraging, they are catalytic. Despite a weak business environment, our Q1 results reflected a disciplined execution. Our investment in capacity is aligned with both domestic and global demanding shift. Focus is to grow order book, enable a resilient cost structure, and continually innovate aligned with sectoral trends. As on June 25, the end of our order, as on June 25 end, our order book is around 81 crore, though the lesser than the last quarter, but I'm expecting a large order inflows to come in Q2 and Q3. Both in aero tooling as well as precision segment. With this, we remain confident in our ability to deliver the guidance we have issued earlier this year for the whole, you know, FY26. Lastly, I will also want to convey my thoughts on tariffs. This is unsettled matter as of today, which may have both positive and negative outcomes in the short term. Tariff has been as bearing on sales, leading to slower shipments as customers want to play out the tariff impact through drop shipments. This also signifies the customer stickiness is going to be very high with us, who have gained strong trust on our product. We are anticipating rise in direct drop shipments to end customers' premises to minimize tariff impact for non-US goods. I would try to indicate maybe about 70% of our goods end customers are based outside US. Okay, so we kind of want to play around drop shipments to minimize the tariff effect. A difficult attribute for our customers to find any new supplier because of these, you know, the drop shipment, you know, playouts where, you know, the quality, the trust that we have built with the customers over a number of years is something that, you know, comes challenging with new suppliers. So we see that customer stickiness with us for going forward also. Additionally, we also understand tariffs can impact our gross margins negatively, as some cost sharing can be requested from larger customers, but in the long term, we are confident of working out ways to minimize the tariff effect. I will now hand it over to Ram. He will guide on the quarter's financials and strategic highlights that underscore our optimism for FY26. Over to you, Ram.
Thank you, Anil. Good morning, everyone. So before covering the financial performance, you know, I would like to mention about the one of the strong initiative being introduced, you know, company-wide to ensure the financial statement remain lean, you know, and of course, special thanks to my first line people, you know, across the company, you know, reduce cost and the profitability and efficiency related, you know, drive in July beginning. This will not only bring bottom line improvement, It improves the process efficiency. Strong efforts are already demonstrated from all our employees to bring small change in our day-to-day operations to improve the overall process covering all business aspects. No? This initiative was well received by our employees and well implemented. You know? Speaking about results, I'll now give you an overview of the financial performance of our company and outlook for the rest of the year. First, the revenue side. Revenue for quarter is around 63 crores, up by 6% versus Q1 of the last year. However, compared to immediate last quarter, it is slightly lower due to overall slowness in export market post tariff news, as you all are aware, which we have anyway indicated in our last call. And coming to segment-wise revenue, as you know, we have two segments, aero tooling and precision and assembly segment. You know, 82% of this revenue has contributed by aero tooling segment and the remaining 18% by precision and assembly segment. Here, I would like to emphasize one important thing that, despite the various low business environment across the globe, we have booked a healthy revenue, I can say. However, you will see improvement in revenue on quarter-on-quarter basis going forward as a pipeline building is going strong across aero tooling, nuclear and precision segment. Though growth might seem slow in first half, but second half looks stronger with large number of orders expected as just now indicated by Anil. Coming to margins, gross margin for the quarter was 66%, kind of similar to last quarter. However, I would like to highlight a few things here. Our GP level got slightly impacted due to increase in cost of goods on account of large number of small qualification related orders. It means like in the first articles, for the new customers. However, this drop in GP has been mitigated by reduction in subcontracting cost, and thereby we are able to maintain, decent gross margin still. Coming to EBITDA for the quarter, which is stood at 20 crores, around 31% on the revenue, which is in line with our FY26 guidance. EBITDA is slightly low, definitely down by 23% compared to last year and even compared to immediate last quarter. The decline was largely due to employee cost and operating expenses, I can say. Higher employee cost, which is now at present 20%, has increased due to new hiring, ESOP cost also we have introduced in the current year, and which has started, impacting our P&L. Salary incremental just now rolled out, and provisions related, bonus, etc. has been created, Overall employee cost is expected to be ranging around 20% to 22% range for the fiscal, which is in line with our growth plan, and which we have anyway anticipated that. Other operating expenses remain at similar level compared to other quarters. Slight increase due to facility expansion and higher charges being incurred. Operating expenses is expected to be around 12 to 13% of revenue on a full year basis. Coming to depreciation expenses, which is up by 50% compared to last quarter due to majority of depreciation charge for the machinery installed, last quarter has come into full effect now. Coming to PAT, declared for the quarter is 19 crores for this quarter, which is at around 26% on revenue. However, strongly this is supported by other incomes. Adjusted ROE and ROCE, which is came at 23.7%, 14% respectively. Overall, profitability and margins are reasonably under control considering large scale expansion and capacity creation happening in FY26. Coming to assets and capacity side, on the operation front, capacity utilization remained at 58% with the available machine hours at 6.59 lakhs approximate hours, slightly increased compared to previous quarter due to few additions happened in the last quarter. Fixed assets turnover ratio was at 2.2 times, similar versus previous quarter as we continue to add machines and run the fair or qualification orders. I'm again reiterating again here that our target is to attain optimum utilization level of around 85 to 90% machine capacity in next 24 months kind of thing, and thereby assets turnover will be maintained in the range of 3 to 3.5 times. Coming to other guidance, speaking about specifically on margin profile side, as guided in our last interaction, there are a couple of underlying factors basis which our margins can alter. Though we understand the shift will not be significant, the first one, notably, the tariff. The new date for tariff finalization is, as you all know, shifted to 1st August. Basis our interaction with our customer, we don't see any impact in demand. However, revenue growth will be slow on quarterly basis as customers are preferring delayed shipments to mitigate tariff impact to possible extent. Again, to mention, as Anil just before mentioned, indicated earlier, we might have to accommodate some cost impact on the margins from customers, if demanded based on the severity of tariff impact. No? This can lead to some compression in gross margin, I can say. Despite all this, we are still targeted to maintain EBITDA margins in between 32% for this financial year, because some strong initiative laid in place to ensure cost saving, also aiding in process improvements like, you know, solar power installation, or, you know, availing benefits of energy costs under Karnataka Aerospace Defense Policy, negotiation of contracts with our existing supply chain vendors, etc. You know, all these things, you know, good initiatives already happened. Hoping for decent cost saving by year end. Additionally, we are confident on building a good order book by end of this year, supported by nuclear side new projects and EMCCR projects, semiconductor OEMs also, and large orders from existing customers. Further relating to working capital, I would like to draw attention here, as we are entering into nuclear projects. This will lead to higher capital working capital requirement. As of now, working capital is around 100 to 110 days, you know. Probably this will increase to 150 to 160 days, you know, because of the nuclear segment, you know, occupying major role. No? This might involve some, you know, kind of funding, debt funding related, you know, to be required, for which I have already factored additional state line, you know, around 50 crores, you know, ready, but not availed. Having stated some risk, which we understand, we are still confident in maintaining our guidance issued in the beginning of the year. Finally, the focus of the founders team, as always, is to keep the cost teams rationalized, improve efficiency, and maintain lean operational cost structure. We are investing heavy in this year, but we'll also keep close eye on how external factors impact business, and suitable calls will be taken to rationalize the investments and costs if required. So, yeah, that's it from my side, and thanks everyone for attending this call, and now I'll hand out to my other co-founder, Mr. Rajikant, to update, you know, M&D and other collaboration aspects.
Thank you, Ram. Good morning, all. Building on the progress we outlined in Q4 around our M&A pipeline, I'd like to share how we've advanced both our inorganic growth agendas this quarter. On the inorganic growth, through acquisitions and JVs, we continue to evaluate precision manufacturing targets both in India and the US, maintaining our discipline around strategic fit, margin sustainability, and return thresholds. In parallel, we are also exploring joint ventures outside India to accelerate our global growth. We'll share details as soon as any deal is closed. However, we understand any acquisition we finalize might surely move to next year to completely integrate within our business. I also want to draw your attention to the Paris Air Show that was held in June. At the Paris Air Show, both aero and defense OEMs as well as tier ones expressed strong interest in our capabilities. We are deepening our relationship with our existing customers and onboarding some new customers. On DEA Technologies, our 16% stake continues towards the 30% target as we advance along India's jet engine Banao incentives. Specifically, I want to call out about the DT-200, which is a 20 kg thrust engine. It is in approval phase, our certification trials. The DET-500 or 50 kg thrust is in initial validation and verification phase, and they are India. They have designed their first ECU or the prototype, which is actually in perhaps India's first ECU prototype that has been done completely out of India. Typically, these kind of commodities have been something that has been imported. And this is one of the times where we do designing it in India, reinforcing Atmanirbhar Bharat in propulsion control. So the ECU I want to just call out is the engine control unit. Now, these combined efforts, inorganic expansion through disciplined acquisitions and JVs, organic growth via new customer engagements and product ramps, and technical milestones at DEA demonstrate Unimaq's ability to scale both globally while deepening India's self-reliance in aerospace and defense. We remain focused on executing each of these initiatives and will keep you informed as they progress. Thank you. That concludes my update. Operator, you may now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jay Chauhan from Trinitra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yeah. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was regarding the, with India targeting 100 gigawatt nuclear capacity by 2047 and the recent 20,000 crore allocation for SMRs, you mentioned opportunities worth of 400 to 500 crores per reactor, right? And can you elaborate? Basically, I just wanted to understand your competitive positioning in the nuclear supply chain and also the timeline for order realization.
Yeah, hello. Your question is on, you know, you want more elaboration on the Anil's reference of 400 to 500 crores opportunity for Unimaq. Is that your question?
With the back.
And no, mainly on the competitive positioning and the competitive environment about more players and what kind of products they are making and any differentiation between you and them. Basically, that is my question, sir.
Okay. So, okay. I'll slightly elaborate on the bigger picture side, you know. So while the recent announcement, you know, is more of, you know, BSRs related, you know, which is anyway more than 10 BSRs are going to come up, you know, very, you know, kind of in a couple of years. However, you know, the Unimaq as of now, you know, there are three stages of opportunity when the Unimaq look at, you know, nuclear side. The first one is immediate, you know, the short-term project, which is EMCCR, which is a modernization project kind of thing. Second thing is a new, bigger reactor, 700 megawatt reactor, which is around 10 coming. And third opportunity is the BSR site, which is just now the announcement is happening. Of course, next 10 to 15 years, the roadmap is very strong. Now, the opportunity what Anil in his speech, you know, mentioned, you know, he's referring to the short-term opportunity, which is the tender for, you know, the more rehab, you know, the modernization project, which is called EMCCR projects, you know, couple of, you know, reactors started. And, you know, it is continuing now, like, you know, three reactors close, another two reactors are going to come up. So now here, Unimaq, you know, the capabilities in terms of various subsystems, you know, as of now, you know, around 6 to 8 kind of subsystems, you know, we are aiming, you know, which eventually, you know, we'll, you know, add few more, you know, subsystems. No? The opportunity, you know, of 6 to 8, you know, which, you know, we are aiming, you know, is going to be like, you know, the kind of opportunity size is 400 to 500 crores kind of thing for every time your tender comes out. And such EMCs are going to be around five EMCCR project, each of five reactors, no, across, no, each of EMCCR, no, all 10 to 12, you know, kind of various subsystems will come and we'll participate around 6 to 7, you know, kind of subsystems, you know, we'll participate.
Got it, sir. Understood. So basically what my understanding was, for the reactors, the typical capital cost is around 1500 crore, 1700 crore, right? Am I correct? And of that, heavy engineering is approximately 5 to 6%. And from that, your target basket will be like the 40 to 45% of heavy engineering pie, which you mentioned 400 to 500 crore. Am I right?
So on the new project side, you know, when it comes to new project side, you know, it is more than 10,000 crores project, you know. So wherein, you know, the mechanical side, you know, which my tentative rough number could be like maybe you know, the opportunity size is, you know, kind of more than, you know, 3,000 crores, 4,000 crores kind of thing. Where, you know, Unimech, you know, eventually will build up capabilities to, you know, attain, you know, at least larger subsystems. Now, we the opportunity, you know, is the complete mechanical subsystem, which could be 3,000 to 4,000 crores, you know, for each new projects. Here, you know, the EMCSA effect slightly lower because it's only few subsystems that will be modernized.
Got it, sir. And by the total opportunity you mentioned, it is for all the 10 reactors, right?
Each reactor is 3,000 to 4,000. When
it got it, got it. Understood.
Yeah.
Understood, sir. And just one more question. This is on the macro side. So, this is on the aerospace side. Like, given the global MRO market is expected to reach 22 billion by 2025 and strong growth in Asia-Pacific, like, what is Unimech's strategy to capture a larger share of the emerging MRO hubs in India and Southeast Asia? And are you considering partnership with local MRO operators? And actually, are you seeing local MRO operators starting operations and competing with the bigger OEMs?
Yeah, so this is Anil here. So, coming to MRO, see, the kind of product that we work on, kind of, you know, the LEAP, which is a product from CFM International and the Pratt & Whitney GTF, great turbofan engine, or any of the other Rolls-Royce engine. Okay, so if the tooling requirements comes from any of these MROs from, you know, Asia-Pacific region, if it is under license agreement, definitely we will be partnering with one of our, you know, the tier one, the licensee customers in US or Europe to kind of cater to these needs. But as any of these requirements which are outside the licensing program, like, you know, a lot of the tools which doesn't fall under the license program, so we will be directly catering to that. So from a demand point of view, we will be getting it from both license as well as kind of non-licensed kind of, you know, programs. But with the kind of, you know, the geographical advantage that we are in, okay, we should be able to optimize the cost for them and also the lead times, because a lot of these MROs come with, you know, the quicker lead time requirements. So definitely we are well positioned to kind of, you know, cater to this industry. So definitely we are considering both the opportunities. One is partnering or collaborating with a few of our customers as well as, you know, directly serving this market.
Got it, sir. What I understood, like what I wanted to understand was, I read in some reports where the MRO market and like the tier one OEMs like Airbus and not tier one, but the OEMs are also, you know, trying to capture the life cycle of their product, and because of the predictive maintenance and everything, they want to capture the whole life cycle of their product. So that's why I just wanted to understand the competitive intensity in the MRO space for the local MRO operators. Like, what are your views on it? Like, will they be able to compete with these OEMs, and what are OEMs planning for the same?
See, actually speaking, OEMs, as I mentioned earlier, there are two programs, right? Be it airframe or engines. You have licensed program for some of the engines. The toolings, the package of toolings comes under some of the license agreement. And the package of toolings which doesn't fall under the license agreement also. So what OEMs are choosing now is they work with licensees directly for those tools which fall under the agreement, and they choose to work with people like us directly to kind of, you know, buy the tools which are, you know, required for some production in MRO, which doesn't fall under the license agreement. So if you know, probably we are working with OEMs directly already, not just with the tier one's licensees. Okay, so we are serving those industries, so both the airframe requirements. But as of now, or the chunk of revenue, the major chunk of revenue that comes is from the tier one licenses. So we would definitely be increasing that portion to OEMs and the MROs in the future. But we are exploring opportunities directly.
Just adding on, what we see is that even, like, you know, to your point, if OEMs actually take over and start, they're already doing it. And they work with suppliers like us to help them support the full life cycle. So from that perspective, we don't see any competitive threat that is looming because of OEMs wanting to take over life cycle control, because OEMs, we don't see them actually wanting to manufacture this. We see them project managing.
Right, right. Understood, sir. But like, I wanted to understand, I understand this is not a threat for you all, but for local, I would say, MRO operators, I just wanted to understand their competitive intensity, and I actually have my answer, and that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sagar Dhawan from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the EMCCR tenders. Could you please quantify the amount of bids that you have submitted for the four EMCCR tenders that you talked about?
We have, it's a call. I don't want to kind of, you know, reveal the numbers because I can only say we have submitted bids for one of the EMCCRs. Okay, so they are kind of, you know, on, at least in the order of above 400 crores overall what we have already submitted. Okay, so we are positive on some of the, you know, bids, but we are still expecting for, you know, the results from the bid opening. So it will happen in probably in a couple of months, maybe August or September.
Understood, sir. And in terms of your current order book, which is about 81 crores, just wanted to understand the split between aero tooling as well as precision. What could be the rough split of this order book?
Agar, again to mention, majority of it is coming from the tooling business. So at around 85% is from tooling.
Sure, understood. And have you started receiving any orders on the engine stand yet? You talked about the execution starting from next quarter onwards, but have any orders come in yet for the engine stands?
We already have orders. I think I updated it in the last quarter. We already have orders for the approval for about 10 numbers, and then once we prove it, I think it will go in a full-fledged production mode.
Understood, understood. And last question from my side is on the precision side. So we've added 7 new customers last year, FY25 on precision side, 3 more were added in this quarter itself. Could you just update us about the status of the first article inspection? How many of the customers' inspections have concluded, and by when could we start receiving orders from some of these customers as the inspections get over?
I wouldn't be able to exactly quantify the fair package, actually. At least about, you know, 50 plus articles we have submitted. We are kind of, you know, waiting for, you know, the decisions and also the returning orders. Some of them are of short-term in nature and some of them are long-term in nature. So usually these companies would take time to kind of, you know, come back. And anything which comes under defense, so there is going to be a quick turnaround. Anything which comes in aerospace, definitely it takes a longer time to kind of, you know, see the auto materialization, bigger auto materialization.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So on the margin side, like right now we are guiding 30-32% kind of range. But long-term perspective, we are targeting nuclear side also. For example, precision and nuclear segments are likely lower margin than aero tooling. Like how will the shift 60-40 mix? Because we are targeting 60% tooling and 40% precision nuclear. So how this mix will impact the margins over the next few years? This is my first question.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, as of now, the indication is 30-32% of EBITDA. Going forward, when nuclear portion picks up, obviously, you know, compared to aero tooling, nuclear is slightly EBITDA-wise lower. But, you know, the shortfall of EBITDA will be, you know, contributed by, you know, the reduction in employee cost. As of now, employee cost operating expenses, if you see, which is you know, 20 more than 20%, you know, employee cost, and, you know, more than 13%, 14%, you know, is operating expenses there, no? That is going to be, you know, slightly comes down, you know, which will net to net, like, we are able to maintain, this kind of range, so, yeah.
Sir, so, to add to Ram's point, when it comes to tooling, your utilization will be slightly lesser compared to your, the precision products. From a pricing point of view, definitely it will have lesser, gross margin, relatively lesser gross margin. But, tooling, you would have, the efficiency, overall equipment efficiency, though utilization we say about 80-85% sometimes. The actual efficiency of the machines would be much lesser because of the nature of, the project, very high mix and low volume. When it comes to precision component, the utilization will be much higher. There is a potential opportunity for us to increase our utilization there and thereby efficiency also because of, the higher spindle operating times. Okay, so definitely we should be able to kind of compensate the some of the margins through our efficiency drives.
Okay, sir. So on that jet engine program side, that TT500 micro gas drive turbine is almost achieved to 20,000 RPM bench drive. So what is the timeline for certification and revenue contribution in this side? And how does this MOU with CSEC turbine specialist de-risk the TT200 engine? If you get some clarity on that side.
Sure. So the TT500, this is the initial verification validation phase that is going on. The next phase that is basically happen is designing of the changes incorporated based on the verification validation. And once that happens, there's going to be retest and stuff. So we look at the certification of the TT500 moving to about end of 2026, early 27, which is as per the plan. And on the DET-200, there's already two units that has been sold. The team's actually trying to get AS9100 certification by sometime, September, October, and hopefully get the Semilax certification by end of the year.
Okay, sir. Sir, actually, our 90% of revenue comes from export size only. And you mentioned around 70% of orders are delivered outside the U.S. I just want to understand which are the countries we are delivering. And is there any long-term plan to focus on domestic side also? Like what kind of mix we can expect over the next 4 to 5 years?
As you rightly mentioned, 70% is non-US kind of, end usage of the product customers actually. So other countries that we serve is the Germany, France, Singapore, some parties, the UK as well, and Canada. Okay, so these are the countries that we supply. And coming to domestic, expansion. Okay, so we are working aggressively on kind of, increasing the domestic, revenue. Definitely, we are not going to say we will capture everything what is available, but definitely what is possible for us to kind of execute, because we have to kind of balance the financial. So, what we are planning to do is we have targeted nuclear segment initially and some defense projects actually. So we would kind of learn and adapt and make sure that okay we increase our utilization for these our utilization of our machine equipments on these product lines. And also make sure that we attain the right level of quality and acceptance criteria for our customers. So, and then only we'll expand to other segments. So, we are going one at a time, probably two at a time now, defense and nuclear as of now.
Any mix we can expect, sir, 90% to we can, what percentage level we can able to reduce on the exposure side?
I think probably it will not change too much for next one and a half years, but I would say 2 years down the line, you would start seeing some increase in domestic business. So you might see about, 75, 25 or something like that.
Got it, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kamlesh from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. One question on my side, like say last quarter we had guided that we will be growing roughly around 40-odd% for this year. Given the fact that we had 6% growth in Q1, so how are we placed now? Because in order to achieve our growth, we may need to grow at roughly around 50-odd%. Where we are seeing our growth trajectory for this year and how are we placed or what is our expectation on the order inflows for the Q2 and Q3 as we had highlighted in the presentation as well?
Great. I think in the last call, you know, we have guided, you know, the growth of 35%-40% growth, you know, the revenue plan and what we have given. Considering the fact that, you know, at that time also we have factored that to the impact of tariff slowdown, you know, we anyway factored and the slowness in Q1 and Q2 and post that Q3, Q4, you know, will pick up, you know. All those things, you know, we've factored in our budget and thereby the guidance we have given. We remain, you know, sticking to that, and we are confident that, you know, H2 will definitely pick up and H1, you know, though it is slowness is there. Coming to, you know, the revenue, you know, contributor from where the revenue comes and how this will be achieved, you know. Again, Aero Tooling is again large contributor, which is slight disturbance in tariff, but, you know, why Q3, Q4, you know, strong expectation anyway there. And, you know, in terms of licensee business, you know, is anyway strong. And considering our existing licensees and, you know, a few other customers, the opportunity, the growth anyway, 35% of, you know, tooling growth anyway will drive. And the other percentage of growth, you know, is coming from the other segment, the nuclear and precision component. While nuclear side, you know, order book only will be there, but revenue would be very, very, you know, kind of less because, you know, order materialization we are, you know, not factored in this financial year. A small amount of, you know, the drive mechanism orders would be executed, you know, with a couple of other products. But the Q1, Q2, and even last year, you know, the new customer onboarding process, which we have indicated, you know, the onboarding process of, you know, precision component side, you know, both aero and some defense, you know, is going, you know, very strong. And order book, you know, the some of the LTAs will be signed, you know, very soon, as Anil mentioned, you know, in Q2 will be signed. So the revenue from this sector, you know, in some portion Q3 and a large portion Q4, you know, is going to come up. So yes, we considering all these things, you know, the guidance of 35% to 40% is achievable from these segments, the three segments.
And secondly, sir, on the tariff side, like say we have huge exposure to the U.S. market, so around 90-odd% revenue comes from there. So how we have settled with our clients on the tariff part, how much we have, like say, compensated for that, or how much the buyer has took on their head?
Yeah, I understood your question. So as of now, to be frank, we don't know how customer will behave. The only thing, you know, entire global countries and all exporters have the same worry. But honestly, you know, we don't see any change in the demand, but maybe supply chain modality, you know, as Anil mentioned, drop shipment will pick up, you know, all those kind of, you know, things will happen. And in terms of margin compression, you know, easily, I mean, some portion would be there, but how much, you know, customer will ask us to contribute, you know, is something, you know, we will able to give you more, you know, in Q2, you know, kind of post Q2, we'll able to tell. But as of now, it's too early, I see. But, you know, yeah, some compression would definitely be there, you know, in case, you know, tariff is going to be maybe more than 15% or 20%. I don't know. I'm just kind of indicative things.
And on the component side, like precision components, like what orders over the next, like say, 1 or 2 years we are seeing? Because our medium-term guidance is that our precision components would rise to 30-odd% of total revenue. So how are we seeing next couple of quarters or a year in terms of order book and in terms of mix of revenue?
Kamlesh, though we have mentioned, yeah, 30% is the target for the future.
the fact that we are onboarding enough number of aerospace and defense clients, largely which will be working towards the precision segment. So that will eventually play out. This is a phase which we'll have to prove. It usually takes around 8 to 10 months to prove out to a customer. Once that clarity is availed, we'll be able to give you a better sense how and what sort of a contribution the other segment will feature. On the overall, we can guide for, yes, 30% is the aspiration that we are carrying. We'll be definitely be able to achieve with the type of opportunities that we are seeing in the market. Especially the inquiries are coming in strong. It's only that we'll have to prove out to the customers. Once this has happened, we'll be able to deliver to the number.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. The next question comes from the line of Sonia Lakwani from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I just wanted to check what sort of customer profiles have we onboarded recently when you talk about the defense and the robotics medical segment. What would be the scale of operation for these customers and the geography of these customers?
So, Sonia, on the defense, aerospace and defense, what we indicated last time also, we have good inquiries onboarded a couple of customers there. It's all international customers, nothing on the domestic side that we have onboarded. With Paris Air Show being one of the leading events which in which we have also got some good leads, we are working on that. On the other part, robotics, though it's a very small one, it's a domestic, it's a US-based client that we are serving. So majority is all international clients that we are targeting at the moment.
Understood. And in terms of the SKUs that we have been adding, so last quarter we added 350, the qualification SKUs were 350, and this time also we have added around 380 SKUs. So what sort of revenue can we expect from these numbers? Is it already budgeted in your long-term guidance of 1,000 crore, or we can expect something additional coming up with the more SKUs getting qualified?
It's already been guided in the long-term guidance.
Understood. And in terms of the aero tooling, given we have a good market share on the LEAP engine side, are we doing anything on the Rolls-Royce and Pratt & Whitney engine?
See, we are increasing our pie with our existing customers because we have touch base and we are working with most of the customers who works on this Pratt, the engine tooling. Since we started with, LEAP, especially when we started in 2016-17, the big pie of our business was into LEAP and CFM. So, our customers was having preference to use us for the LEAP programs. But late 2021, they started using us for Pratt, and definitely the SKU qualifications for Pratt also is increasing nowadays. And also the customer trust and on our quality and ability to deliver to the requirement is definitely is increasing. And I don't think we are going to do any roadshow specifically to other customers on the Pratt & Whitney, but we are doing a lot of the workshops with customers to understand their pain points and on the delivery as well as quality. To make sure we improve our services and increase the part.
Understood. Thank you. The next question was on the employee cost. When do we see the cost stabilizing? Given have we hired the employees that we had budgeted for the current capacities, or do you expect more number of employees to be onboarded going forward?
The employee hiring, is going to be largely, completed, in Q2 end, So this scale up, the large number of hiring is towards, the capacity what we have added, and,
the next two years, the revenue growth plan, you know, towards that, you know, this employee hiring has completed. Of course, you know, as you know, aerospace industry is like, you know, once employee hiring completed, you know, the onboarding, like training takes a lot of time and the getting efficiency takes more time. So this is well planned, and you know, to, you know, as part of our growth plan, the early hiring happened. Yes, by year end, you know, you might see 22% of revenue, you know, the employee cost over revenue, but eventually it could be around, you know, my fair guess is around 14 to 16% of revenue, you know, our employee cost would be there on the revenue side.
Understood. Thank you, Ram, for this. Just one last question from my end. For quarter one FY25, what would be the aero tooling versus precision breakup?
For which one are you there?
Quarter one FY25. So this year, quarter one FY26, you mentioned it is 82% and 18% between aero and precision. So what would be the same number on a comparative basis for quarter one FY25?
I don't have this number offhand. Let me come back to you.
Sure. Thank you, Akash.
Thank you.
That's it, Raman.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My first question is, what are the peak revenue capabilities in both of our segments, aero tooling and precision components, from our current assets?
Can't hear you. Could you be louder and repeat that?
Hello. Is it better now?
Yes, better.
Yeah. So, sir, my question was, what are the peak revenue capabilities in both of our segment, aero tooling and precision components, as we have heavily invested in our assets for the last 1 to 2 years? So, from current assets, what are the peak revenue capabilities annually?
See, the capabilities typically in both aero tooling and precision component is on machining side only, for precision machining. The precision welding and structural fabrication, both small and large, okay, and assembly and integration testing capability. Okay, these are kind of, you know, the capabilities. But from a revenue point of view, we are kind of, you know, aiming to kind of, you know, grow somewhere about 650 crore with the kind of, you know, existing.
Sorry, how much?
What I'll suggest is for the from the revenue part, though we have given a guidance of a 40% growth for this fiscal, we'll continue to stick to that. You would have seen our numbers, utilization levels are still slow. It's a gradual process in the aerospace and defense sector. And gradually this machine utilization or resource utilization will continue to improve and the revenue will pick up. On a quarter-to-quarter basis, though it becomes difficult to guide, but on an overall basis, yes, we can say with the growth that is available in the industry and with India as a budding market, anywhere between 35 to 40% of growth can be expected, and hence we have accordingly built a guidance also.
Okay, sir. Okay. And my second question is, previously in the last call, you had mentioned that all the OEMs are already facing the supply chain issues in their component supplies. But in this current call, you have mentioned that you will face some margin pressure due to tariffs and all. So can you put some light on that?
See, tariff is something still being uncertain. We are deciding and negotiating with our customers. That dialogue will continue to happen unless something crystallizes. So to give an indicative thing, we are also figuring out how to play this part. But generally with the OEMs facing the supply chain issue, that what I can indicate, the demand is there. And if the demand is there, it will eventually come for us, and in terms of revenue building, it will happen not immediately, but over the period of years, it will generally happen.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir? Yes,
sir. You're audible.
Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity, sir. So just first up, on the nuclear reactors, you mentioned 10 plus tenders are coming up, right? So what's the timeline of that? Is it by September you are expecting those tenders to come up?
No. The floating of tenders already started on the modernization, which is EMCCR side, I said, no? So some tenders already close and expected results, you know, by end of August, you know. And some tenders opened up, and the process continued for 5 nuclear reactors, and it is going to be, you know, for across various subsystems, going to continue until December, I mean, my guess, you know. So, but yeah, it is short-term to medium kind of opportunity. For the one what we mentioned is going to close in August, the recent one, you know, what we participated.
So coming back to the original question was these 10 new reactors, what's the timeline of, you know, the launching? See, in Nuclear Power Corporation of India have already launched a lot of the subsystems, which takes a longer lead time. Okay, so like, you know, the calendars and some of the site related, you know, the kind of equipments. Okay, so we are expecting other, you know, subsystem tenders also, because they go by a phased manner. But we are sure that it is going to be in a near future, not definitely number of years from now. It's going to be in months.
I got it. That I understood. And what would be the total billet size as of now for the tenders which has which has gone closed?
So I think I'm not sure on the orders that they've floated or the tenders that has been floated on the main are probably the basic subsystems. But coming to, I can mention that what we have submitted, okay, is probably above 400-500 crore kind of, you know, work for only EMCCR we have submitted. And also for, you know, the one of the participation through tier one manufacturer in India. So that's also kind of amounting to about 400-500 crore. Overall about, you know, 800 plus crore we have participated in the last one to 2 months.
800 crores in last 1 to 2 months. And what can one expect as a conversion ratio?
I can't commit now.
A tentative historical number would also help. I mean, what sort of general...
This is a kind of, you know, the new segment where we have won definitely some of the bits, the decent bits that we have participated against the giants in the industry. Definitely, we will have, with our cost base, definitely we should be able to grab good opportunity out of what we have submitted. So, but if you want me to quantify, definitely I can't commit now.
Fair enough. I understood. And so just one last thing. I mean, in terms of your margins, we already currently are at about 31.5% in the first quarter itself. I mean, there was some compression in gross margin as well. And the tariff impact is yet to come. So we do expect some compression on account of tariff as well. So we might expect further decline in your EBITDA margin from currently 31%. But we are still maintaining 30% and 32% kind of a margins.
Yes.
So and...
Yeah. Okay, you can complete, yeah.
Yeah, please. Yeah. That's what I was trying to understand. I mean, what's the thought process there?
It is margins is, you know, the function of many aspects, right, in the business. One is, you know, the kind of utilization. The utilization is a major, you know, the factor today, okay, because we are doing a lot of fair approvals for the new customers and new projects. Definitely the utilization will be higher in the fair approval stage. And as we increase, definitely the margin will increase. But at the same time, okay, this tariff, when we increase our better our utilization, when the margin increases, but this tariff might take a place. So we have kind of, you know, factored some of these aspects already in our, you know, the budget. And that's where we have guided this 32% based on that. But if the tariff effect is, you know, very significant, then probably the margin compression will happen. That's the kind of, you know, indication that Ram has given. But as of now, I would say, we are staying, you know, calm there with the fact that, okay, we have to better our utilization and efficiency.
I got it. So some positive impact from here and negative impact from there. So somewhere,
yes.
This is what we expect the equilibrium can be for the company.
Yes, got it. Yes,
okay. Understood. Fair enough. I mean, that would be it from my side, and I wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vinit Agarwal from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, just a couple of questions. So, so would it be possible for you to talk about on the timelines and CapEx for the US and European warehouse facility, and how much benefits or synergies you are expecting?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
So I was just asking, like, would it be possible for you to talk about on the timelines or the CapEx for the US and Europe warehouse facility, and how much benefits or synergies we can expect?
See, from a timeline point of view, we are exploring. See, we are not setting up warehouse. I don't know whether Mr. Kenneth will correct you there.
Actually, it was mentioned in PPT.
We are looking at exploring M&A opportunities as well as some collaborations, the JV, okay, with US or overseas entities. It's not definitely just a warehouse. Okay, so one is when it comes to M&A, okay, we are looking at, you know, some certain targets, certain, you know, segments where we can acquire and also have the offshoring kind of, you know, ability to increase the synergy and better the margins of the overall business and the business that we are kind of targeting to acquire also. So still we are pursuing, we are working on a couple of leads, and I think from a timeline point of view, our wish is to come close it within this year. But I don't know how the kind of, you know, the challenges comes in, especially during the due diligence processes. So that is one. On coming to the setting up organically, so we are kind of, you know, not exploring too much on setting up organically. I know it takes a lot of time to kind of, you know, see the benefit, and probably a lot of time and bandwidth from the management to kind of, you know, set up the greenfield there. So we are looking at an inorganic, you know, opportunity only, M&A or JV opportunity. So you will hear from us in coming quarters about the progress.
Okay, got it. And secondly, like, how do you plan to deploy the balance cash for the rest of the year?
So I think you are referring to the IPO money, the balance cash.
Yes.
As of now, you know, 120 crores of undeployed money is there in IPO fund. So in this, you know, some portion in the around 50% is going to be utilized, you know, by March, you know, in, which is towards kind of loan repayment, borrowing repayments, you know. So that is one thing, one apart this year kind of thing. But beginning of April next year, you know, working capital, around 30 crores in working capital will be fixed. We planned, you know. I can say, like, you know, out of 120, 30 CR will be next year deployment, and 90 CR is going to be, you know, used in this financial year.
Thank you so much, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you for your patience listening. I hope we have been able to answer most of your questions. For any further questions, you may reach out to our IR desk. Summarizing today's discussion, Unimech Q1 performance reflects not just resilience, but readiness to scale, capture, and progress. We are strategically aligned to serve industries we are present in and expand to adjacent industries. This will fuel our growth towards a sustainable future. Our disciplined execution and efficiency and forward-looking investments in the business will continue to create value for all the stakeholders. We remain optimistic in our ability to deliver our FY26 commitments. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stocks Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.